Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, Amazon's founder, Jeff Bezos, is going through a divorce with his wife after 25 years of marriage. His wife, Mackenzie, according to the Wall Street Journal, will easily become the richest woman in the world with a net worth of $69 billion. I like that, $69 billion, wow. But in Florida, how is alimony decided? Today, we're speaking with attorney Dan Rakowski from the law office of Daniel S. Rakowski. Dan will be educating us on the new tax bill because alimony will no longer be tax deductible beginning January 1st, 2019, this year. I'd also like to welcome our legal panelist for today, who is attorney Eric Yankwit.
Hello, Phil. Good to see you here on the radio.
Well, Eric, next time we do a recording, your name is going to be at the opening because it's official that you've joined us. And you have an interesting background. I mean, seriously, you know, from the planning and zoning boards to, I mean, just so much, and including Tom. And you are the gentleman with his daughter that developed Tom. And Tom stands for Thanksgiving Holiday Orphan Meal. And that means when people are here from north, you know,
or
they
wherever,
can't get up there.
Right?
They have an alternative to being alone.
Right, when they don't have a family and
yep.
they don't like their family or too far away.
And I'm impressed, 27,000 people.
What a great concept.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. It's
a labor of love.
It is, and your daughter helped develop it with you, and then she left you with it. It's a whole other story. I'd like to welcome our listeners. Oh, Gary Singer. Gary Singer will be back next week. Gary right now is at a seminar, but... you know, doing, I guess, CLE credits. I'm not sure, actually, where Gary is. He said he'll be out of town.
I think he said CLE.
Yeah, I think so.
Staying abreast.
I'd like to welcome our listeners on 96.9, 103.9, and those are FM, 740 AM, as well as our national listeners on iHeart, TuneIn, and iRadio Now apps. Good afternoon. And on Thursdays at 5:30 p.m., you can watch the production live. Just go to, just as simple as just the Google, Facebook, Legal News and Review, and we come right up. And today, we're producing at the Kelly Ustahl Building in their very own mock courtroom. You know, you talk about resources, and that's just one of the reasons why attorneys refer them cases. It's not just because of their resources, but it's their successes. And again, if you've been severely injured from a negligence of someone else, you should have your rights protected. Just go to justiceforall.com. That's justiceforall.com. Dan Rakowski from the law offices of Daniel Rakowski. Good afternoon and welcome, Dan, to Legal News and Review.
Good afternoon, Phil. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Dan, in Florida, the first question I have before we actually talk about the large divorce there, and in Florida, how long do you have to be married to claim alimony?
Well, going to be the answer that I'm going to give a lot today, which is it depends.
The first class in law school for
yes,
me.
It was every class in law school. I'll try to go a little beyond where my professor left off, which
sure.
was letting the class try to answer that. The fact is that the law gives three different types of marriages some structure and definition under the law as far as alimony goes. You have short-term marriages, you have long-term marriages, and much more interestingly, you have moderate-term marriages, where a moderate-term marriage would be 7 to 17 years,
uh-huh.
and short would obviously be less than that, and long-term would be more than 17 years. And the breakdown kind of happens a little like this. If you're in a long-term marriage, married 17 years or more, there is a presumption under the law that one party may be entitled to alimony, a presumption.
Right.
And the first thing the court needs to do is decide, is there a need and is there an ability to pay that alimony?
You have to establish the need?
You have to establish the need by competent evidence of one party, and you have to establish the ability to pay of the other party.
What would be evidence if a wife, and I'm going to be sexist and forgive me, but the wife says, I need $500 a month to have my hair done?
That's a good question, too.
It's based on lifestyle?
And it has to do with, lifestyle is a lot less than what it used to be.
Huh.
You hear.
So is mine.
Everyone's lifestyle rises and diminishes at times, but I think that with divorce, there used to be a sense that if someone had a certain standard of life during the divorce, that they should be able to maintain that.
During the marriage, they should be able to maintain
that's
it during
what I
the
meant.
Divorce.
That if they had it during the marriage, that after the marriage, they should still be able to maintain it. And the law has very much gone away from that. We want people to have, we want them to have more than subsistence, but they're not necessarily entitled to do all the things that they did during the marriage just because the other person might be able to fund it.
So how's that decided? How do you go about working that through?
It's all facts, and it's fact-dependent, and the judge, the trier of fact, he or she gets to decide. And that is one of the reasons that I very much stay away from trials if I can. I don't think they're in the best interest of my clients.
Isn't that true of most family attorneys? They try to stay out of the courtroom?
The good ones, yes. Yeah. The good ones try to stay out of the courtroom because of the uncertainty of what can occur on those fact-dependent kind of questions. So it's much better to get all your evidence together and get with your opposing counsel and really try to figure out what's the best thing for this family. How can this family that once existed together exist in two pieces and still thrive as much as possible and still have their children as well adjusted?
You know that when I opened the program regarding the founder of Amazon, there are actually two founders, himself and his wife. And it's presumptuous, I guess, of me to say that she's going to be the richest woman in the world because of the divorce. She already was.
Yes, I'm glad you said that, Phil. She will be now the richest single woman in the world.
Ah.
But she already is the richest
woman. You got her number?
I was just about to ask. I'll take an email. I'll take a Facebook.
You know, our wives are watching right now.
Yes, but I think she'd forgive me. I think she'd be in favor of it. I think.
Yep. Anyway, when it comes to, equitable distribution, is Florida a 50-50 state when it comes to divorce?
Okay, so there's 9 states that do something called community property. And the terms all sound very similar. It's just how they're used in those jurisdictions. So community property, basically, my understanding, because Florida's not one of those states, but Washington State is. And in a community property state, it's very much a 50-50 kind of arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's a very progressive state, and there's other things going on there that pertain to this, like non-marital, cohabitation and things like that,
right,
where they do property division. But Florida is an equitable distribution state. And so in Florida, it is not necessarily true that it's going to be a 50-50 split of everything, but more that the court can decide what's fair, what is a fair manner.
Mm-hmm.
And often it's 50-50, if it's that clear cut.
Right.
But so many other subtleties and facets of the finances and of the marital relationship, and they're all taken into account. And so you could have an equitable distribution.
Right.
It doesn't really look 50-50.
So for our listeners, people who are not married, there is no equitable distribution for that couple who was living together.
That's correct. In Florida, there's no common law marriage. There hasn't been for decades. And unless you're married, you do not. There's never that opportunity to be a marital unit and then not be, unless you actually are a marital unit. Unless there's a.
You have to be legally married to get legally divorced.
Absolutely.
And there's no legal separation in Florida.
That's correct. There's no legal separation in Florida. You can legally separate, except the court isn't going to recognize it. There's no, many states have a requirement under the law that you actually maintain legal separation for a certain prescribed amount of time to be eligible for divorce. Florida is not one of those states. There's no step of separation. It's just a state to be in. And so in a Florida divorce, you might have a pending dissolution of marriage case, and you might actually be separated. And then the court looks at certain things like temporary support, temporary alimony, exclusive use of the marital residence. So the court recognizes that the parties are separated, and there's things that it can do to aid in that separation. But it's not a legal status that is any part of a step to divorce.
So let's say like you're the husband and wife, one moves out of the house, but they don't file for a divorce for another 6 months or so. During that time period, which day is the court going to divide the assets, the worth of it, the day they moved out or the day they filed? Or
it's generally the filing date. It doesn't have to be, but it's generally the filing date. That's what we usually go by. There's some complicated arguments to make that it could be separation date, and different assets can be valued in different ways.
Well, if you're separated but you're still living together because financially you don't keep two different households till everything is decided, does the court recognize the fact that you're still living with your spouse even though you're not having marital relations?
Well, it's interesting that you should say that because I had a consultation just today where that was the case, and I couldn't believe. I've had it before. I've actually had a recently completed divorce where my client decided that the best thing for the couple to do was to rotate their presence in the household with their two teenage children.
Wow.
And that they would go 1 week on and 1 week off. Now, in terms of...
Did the loser get the kids? Or
the idea was, you know, hey, let's us go find somewhere to stay for a week at a time and let the kids have their structure and their consistency, and those are great things.
So as an attorney, you didn't have a problem with your client going into such an arrangement?
I actually did. I did have a problem. I told my client, who was the mother, that it was a ridiculous idea. And I tried to talk her out of it, and she did it anyway. Because even though it's well-intended,
right,
it generally does not work. It doesn't work.
Who's going to clean the dishes?
Well,
that's what's going to happen. So something in that kitchen or something in the common area.
So yeah. So what happened was it didn't work out. It didn't work out. And she did the, you better not say I told you so, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was the case.
But do the judges look at that, take that into account that they're still living together, Mr. and Mrs. Jones? So
only in the sense that, there's not going to be temporary support. There's no two household setup while the divorce is pending.
Mm-hmm.
That causes the court to have to do certain things. So it's recognized, but not in particular for any value to the divorce.
And divorce takes, I'm going to be like one of your clients, I'm sure. We reviewed some questions about your clients. And so how long is it going to take to get me divorced?
Well, actually, that's a question that's from all of my clients. I've never not been asked that. And I give everyone the same answer because it's the only answer I can give. And I say it's going to be at least 22 days.
Right.
But it could be 2 years.
It's not because you're dragging your feet. You don't know what you're up against on the other side. There's something called transparency that we've reported on, especially in the practice of family law. And the other side is not as forthcoming. A lot of times they'll say, yeah, go to the judge. You want that document, go to the judge.
Right. You can't predict the variables from the other side.
There's so many variables. Not only that, but people tend to put their best foot forward. Mm-hmm. They want to be likable. And a lot of my clients come in, they don't tell me everything I need to know. You hear that from criminal attorneys all the time, but even in family law, they don't tell me how bad the other side is going to make them look or the issues with their parenting skills or their transgressions that will be used against them. So these things tend to come up, and the facts that aren't brought to light in the initial consultation, they materialize down the road, and so I would never be able to.
And that also affects the fee as well. Because when they first start off, you made it sound like it's going to be a fast and easy divorce. And now when I find out that your finger that you've been pointing at him and you got three pointing right back at you, it makes it a whole different calculation. Yep.
And it's often that happens.
You know something, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Legal News and Review, and we're going to be coming back speaking with Dan Rakowski. And when we come back, we're going to address a change within alimony. We're talking about alimony and eventually alimony reform, which has been around. But now it becomes a bit more burdensome for the ex-spouse who pays alimony. We're going to tell you why. You got to stay tuned and hear this. It's a law in effect beginning this month, this year. We'll be right back.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310. Or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Moving right along, Legal News and Review. And keep those emails coming, and I'm going to address one email real quick here before we start back with the program, is that, yes, we do Facebook, and we do Facebook Live when we produce. It's very simple. Just Google Legal News and Review, Facebook, or Facebook Legal News and Review. It doesn't matter. We come right up, and you can see even past episodes. When we left off, I asked Dan regarding the new tax bill. Divorce would become a bit more burdensome for the ex-spouse who paid alimony because it no longer is deductible expense. It is calculated on the gross income, but get this, the party that receives the payments would no longer need to pay tax on the income received. So I guess it's better to receive than give.
Well, usually.
What used to be the case was that the person paying alimony, they could deduct that amount of alimony. And then it would be then attributed to the income of the person receiving the alimony. And so now at this line of demarcation that just passed 17 days ago, any new agreements would be basically the other way around. Whereas the person who was making the payment of alimony right. would not get to deduct it, and the person receiving it, you see how it's different?
And sure.
Well, the way I haven't actually done anything in the last 17 days to complete an
right.
agreement that would this would affect, but I would imagine that what we're going to see is that there's just going to be an adjustment made mentally for what's going on.
When right. During the mediation conference,
there'll
be that
right.
that bitter pill to swallow won't be there anymore. Right? You before, during the prior years, you would say to the payer of the alimony, oh, well, hey, by the way, you can deduct it so it's not as bad, right? And
right.
then they'd swallow it easier and
it's
okay.
It's an incentive. It would
right.
be an incentive.
Now it takes that away.
Anymore. But, you know, where it might used to be, hey, you're going to pay $2,000 in alimony every month, now that it's not deductible.
Right, they'll calculate it to be a lower payment. To want to settle lower. But I don't know how educated the receiver will be about saying, oh, I don't have to pay taxes on it anymore, so I can accept a higher amount.
Well, that's, I guess, I
or accept the lower amount.
Okay, accept the lower amount, yeah. right.
That's
sorry,
why the family law attorneys have to really, you know, explain that to their clients. It's a needless complication, except
right.
for the fact that the Tax Act was passed, so that's the change they put in there.
Now, unfortunately, it's common, all too common. I mean, you turn on the television, watch the TV show Cops, and when somebody's called for a domestic call, somebody's going to court, no matter what. And matter of fact, 90 Day Fiancé, for those that actually watched that show, the girl was arrested for that, and then the husband dropped the charges. But guess what? The state says, too bad, we're not dropping charges.
Well, that's very common. In a domestic violence case, the state has the ability to become or to represent the victim if the victim's uncooperative. And that's what makes that crime just slightly different from all other types. And that's because
yeah.
of the social reality that so many people who need help and who are victims of domestic violence find themselves in a close relationship with their assaulter, and they go back and forth on whether that's good or bad for them.
And an assault doesn't necessarily mean that you're punching somebody. If you spit on somebody, you know, that could be considered an assault.
Well, strictly legally speaking, an assault is when you put someone in fear that you're going to hurt them. And then when you batter them,
wow.
you can batter them with saliva, with a finger, with something you throw. So intentionally touching, striking somebody. So we do have lots of variety of ways that people who are in loving relationships can hurt each other.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my brother and I used to argue a lot, and I always said, say it, don't spray it, because he would spray when he... Right. And then a rubber band would shoot out because he had braces. But that's another story. Interestingly enough, when it comes to this particular high-value divorce, those are relatively easy to do because you can't really hide money, unlike where someone is going to come to you and say, well, I know he has the money, I just don't know where it is.
I think anyone can hide money if that's their intent, if they start early enough and they do, and they're a scheming kind of person. And I set out in every one of my cases being aware of the possibility that exists. It's very, very difficult to determine that that's happening if someone does it in a smart way.
Now, $265,000 made their permanent home last year in Florida. That beat California, first time in history. More people moved here than anywhere in the United States.
So it feels like that, too.
It does, yeah, if you drive on 95. But what are the requirements for filing a divorce here in the state of Florida?
Well, one of the parties needs to be a resident of the state of Florida for 6 months prior to the filing.
So how do you prove that? Because there are people who have a Florida driver's license and they move to Virginia and they still have their Florida driver's license.
Yeah.
How coincidental. I was in court this morning and we had just this exact issue. It's usually not an issue. I usually walk in with my client. We present the driver's license to the bailiff. Bailiff shows the judge the driver's license. And as long as it was issued, right, 6 months prior to the filing of the case, everything's fine. Jurisdiction's an issue. In this case, the parties had been separated for a long time, and my client moved to another state, and they just decided to file. Well, wouldn't be a problem, except the wife is not participating. She got defaulted in the case. And so we didn't have her there to say that. We did some research, pulled up an old ticket with a driver's license image somewhere in one of the clerk systems, and the judge accepted it. It showed that she had been a resident for 6 months before the filing.
Good for you.
If let's say my spouse and I divorce, will I have to split my retirement plan or stocks?
It depends. same thing. This actually happened to me. I can talk about myself. I had retired from a career in law enforcement.
Right.
And a large portion of the time that I was there, increasing my pension, earning my pension, mm-hmm, I was married. And that period of time basically gets split equitably. So maybe not 50-50, but usually it gets split evenly. And then whatever I earned before I was married, that's the portion that's non-marital, and that doesn't have to be divided. So there's a lot of calculations that go on, and you have qualified domestic relations orders.
I was just going to ask you about how's a quadro fit into all that?
A qualified domestic relations order called a quadro, QDRO. It's basically a judge's order, mm-hmm, that's fashioned by a very skilled person who just does this sort of thing usually, and it gives orders for certain types of assets to be split. So instead of having to pull money out and give it to somebody, and there could be tax consequences and all sorts of penalties and things like that, a quadro just literally where the judge orders that this portion is that person's and this portion is that person's.
One of our past legal panelists was Charles Moorhead, who was head of the Broward County Bar. He's president of BOTA. I go on and on with who he is. And I said to him, well, what's the difference between a good attorney and a great attorney? And I thought he'd say, well, great attorney is well-versed. He knows what he's doing. You know, No. He simply said, a great attorney knows the judges.
Right.
Now, your background within law enforcement, you know all the judges. You've seen the judges just while walking around in court. You know,
I've seen the judges in a variety of settings.
Yeah.
Some of them I went to law school with. Some of them I met in my law enforcement career.
Right.
We attended dinners together, crime commission, things like that. And some of them I've met in my practice.
Well, we only really have 2 minutes left, so I want to ask this question. When you were in law enforcement, did you have to go to domestic calls?
Quite often.
You saw the kids and the damage that does to the kids.
Terrible. It's terrible.
That must have bleed into your practice now and help you make become a better attorney.
It does. It helps me be a much better attorney in terms of divorces, maternity cases, and it helps fuel my drive to do this job, do it right. And I also work as a family law guardian ad litem. on cases where a judge wow. appoints me to look after the interests of the children. And so that all comes into it. I say a lot, you know, family law is a tough area to practice in, and people say, how can you do that? How can you do that? It's terrible. And I said, listen, I used to be in the kitchen when they were hitting each other with pots and pans. I think I can handle the paperwork.
It's a lot easier. So, Dan, so what is the best way that our listeners can contact you?
Online, rakofskilaw.com. I'll spell that R-A-K-O-F, like Frank, S like Sam, K-Y-L-A-W.com. Or our main number on telephone is 954-745-0792.
Correct. And if you Google, like I did, Rakofsky Law, you come right up.
There's not a lot of Rakofskys.
No, there is not. No, you come right up. And you maintain different offices, the Miracle Mile in Coral Gables, and, of course, here in Fort Lauderdale.
Right, which is where I spend most of my time.
Yeah. Well, Dan, we're going to call on you from time to time for follow-ups on issues that we think are important to bring up, such as the new tax bill. I mean, there's a Senate Bill 590 about voluntary timesharing. We didn't even get a chance to talk about it. So much changes you need to know. Just because you want a divorce doesn't mean it's easy. And you know what people are going through because you've gone through a divorce yourself with children.
That's right.
As well. You know, it always goes by too fast.
It does.
It really does. And I want our listeners to know, please put down the phones. As a matter of fact, one of the first this year, I sent you that information regarding texting and driving, the accident.
Right.
Yeah.
It was so amazing.
It is. It is, you know. So put down those phones.
Put down the phones. Please pull over to the side and...
Yeah, if it's that important, pull over to the side. The life you may save, as I say, might be my own.
Right.
So please, drive carefully out there and remember...
Be legal!
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.